All right, brethren, let's go back to Psalm 92. We were here Thursday a week ago. In this psalm, the psalmist is giving thanks to the Lord, and he's been describing the wicked flourishing in the world. You know, throughout the week, you're surrounded by worldly men, and it's a dog-eat-dog world, and you see wicked men appear to flourish and prosper, boasting in their power, boasting in their riches, spreading themselves like a green bay tree, while God's people don't appear to prosper in the world. Afflicted, chastened of the Lord, lowly in the world, often go through some very difficult trouble. But then the psalmist comes into the Lord's house, and he sees things as they really are. The wicked are but grass, which spring up only to be cut down. But here's the contrast. In the Lord's house, he beholds God's people planted by the Lord, flourishing, but it's in an entirely different way than the world. He says in verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, that is green, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Our text speaks of a different flourishing from that of the carnal man. This is spiritual flourishing. This is in the house of the Lord by the blessing of the Lord. It's not like this in the world. The Lord said, I've spoken these things that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. In Christ, in his house, with his people, under his gospel, we have peace. But in the world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So this is an entirely different flourishing than what the world is enjoying. I want to show you first the planting, then the flourishing, and then the reason. Now here's the planting. He says, those planted in the Lord's house, they're the planting of the Lord. Verse 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord, they're the planting of the Lord. Every true believer is a tree planted by God himself in God's garden, that is, in his house. And God's the great husbandman. He's the one who did the planting. In Isaiah 60:21, he calls his people the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. He said in Psalm 80, verse 15, the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. Each of God's children is a tree planted by God's free and sovereign electing grace. A tree that's been planted by God's free and sovereign electing grace. He said in Deuteronomy 7:6, and this is what he says of his house. Listen, thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. This is what it is to be a holy people, is to be chosen of God, separated out, distinguished by God, to be his special people above all the people of this world. And that's what you are. By God's divine electing grace. Free grace means it's not based on any merit in us. Sovereign grace means it's God's choice. God's choice. And each believer is a tree planted by effectual redemption. A tree planted by the effectual redemption of our Lord Jesus. Verse 12 calls his people the righteous. How do we become the righteous? All his trees, all his saints are righteous. You know what it is to be righteous? It's to be as God. To be as righteous as God. To be as perfect, as holy as God. That's what it is to be righteous. How do we get that way? In and by Christ Jesus, by the work of his hands, by his faithfulness, by the faith of Christ. Isaiah 54:7, he said, "Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." That's pretty plain, isn't it? Their righteousness is of me. Isaiah 60:21 says, "Thy people also shall be all righteous." It's not just so of some of them, and it's not just so of part of each of them. They're all made righteous by Christ, and each one of them are all righteous in Christ. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. How did he do this? Our Lord Jesus came, the sinless substitute, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, as a man, and he hath made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's how he did it. That's how he did it. If we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We've been planted. And so our glorying is in the Lord only. We only glory in the Lord. Why do these preachers just keep preaching on Christ? And that's what they preach. They just keep preaching Christ, Christ, Christ. Christ is all. All you ever hear preach is Christ. Because to them, Christ is all. And to his people, Christ is all. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Did you get that? Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Why? For he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. The psalmist said in Psalm 71:16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. That's why we preach him. We only have one righteousness, and we're only talking about one righteousness, and it's him. I'll make mention of thy righteousness, thine only. Thine only. That's why Paul said, I want to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the faithfulness of Christ, the doing and dying of Christ, the obedience of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He provided the righteousness for his people. That's his son. So we're planted by divine election in his house. We're planted by effectual redemption. And every believer is planted of the Lord by the Spirit of God, giving us spiritual life in regeneration. Planted by him giving us life in regeneration. Our Lord said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's so the rest of our days. And if we're never born from above, that which is born of the flesh is only flesh. We saw it this morning in the Pharisees. That's why they couldn't hear anything the Lord said. That's why they rejected him. That's why they resisted him and his people and called him a Samaritan and a devil and everything else. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Water can't rise above its source. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So in every believer, born of God the Holy Spirit, there's a new spirit, and then there's an old man of flesh. Those that are made to receive Christ, Scripture says, were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, born from above. And he plants each of his trees in the Lord's house, in the Lord's courts. That's what he says here. Planted in the Lord's house, planted in the Lord's courts. Well, that means we're planted in Christ, our tabernacle. He's our house. We're planted in him. We're planted in the Lord's universal church, the universal house. That is his elect in heaven and his elect in earth, the church of the firstborn, of which Christ is the head. But here specifically, he's speaking of his local assembly where God has sent his gospel in truth. We're manifestly planted in his house when we publicly confess Christ in believer's baptism, having been born, having been chosen of God, redeemed by Christ, born of His Spirit, the believer confesses Christ publicly in believer's baptism. He's been planted in the house of the Lord, and he identifies with the Lord's people in church membership, saying, I want to be one with this people. I'm identified with this people. Their Lord is my Lord. They're my people, and I identify with them. And he's going to be faithfully attending the preaching of his gospel, persevering in faith together with his people. Now, this is the planting of the Lord. In the world, the wicked flourish like the grass, only to be cut down by the Lord. But those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. He beautifies his house by his planting. Listen to this from Numbers 24:5. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are, they spread forth, as gardens by the river's side, as trees of lean aloes which the Lord hath planted, as cedar trees beside the waters. That's how he describes his house, his church, spreading forth like cedars and like trees of aloes. Now that's the planting. It's all of the Lord. Now here's the flourishing. Verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. All of God's trees, all of his children, are fruit-bearing trees. Every one of them are. Every one of them are. Jeremiah 11:16, the Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. In Psalm 52:8, David sings, I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. And all our fruits produced by our Lord, all of it. He said in Hosea 14:8, from me is thy fruit found. Remember our Lord said, you're the branch, I'm the vine. Abide in me and I in thee. Because as a branch can't bring forth fruit of itself, neither can you bring fruit without me. We have to abide in him. We're filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. I preached a message one time titled, Organically Grown Believers. When you see that in a supermarket, organically grown means there's nothing man-made that was used to accelerate the growth. Nothing man-made was used to kill the pests. Well, believers are born and they're grown with nothing man-made to make them grow faster. Nothing man-made to kill the pest. Only the pure seed of the word of the gospel. Only the pure water of life. Only the pure sun of righteousness. By God giving the increase. That's how. That's how. Let's see some of this comparison to the palm tree. I'm going to spend most of my time here on the palm tree. We'll speak a little bit about the cedar in Lebanon, but he says, verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Now, this is not a palm tree like you see down in Florida. This is a date palm. This is a date tree. They flourish and they produce much fruit. The righteous shall flourish like the date palm. The date palm grows in the purest soil. It will not grow in a dry, dirty soil, only in good soil by a river. That's where a date palm grows. God's child is planted and rooted in the pure soil of Christ Jesus and his unchanging love. We're planted in that pure soil. By his grace, we grow up into him in the fruit of faith and love. Colossians 2:6 says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him. Established in the faith. That's how you received him, in the faith. Rooted and built up in him, and as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Ephesians 3:17 says, Paul prayed that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. That you may be able to comprehend something of that love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. As a date palm's planted in pure soil, by a river of water. Christ's people are planted in the soil of Christ Jesus and his unchanging love. He's the river of life to whom our roots grow and up into whom we grow by him. When a date palm is young, it's a very, very weak plant. So they plant three or four of them together so they may lean on one another as they get taller and strengthen one another. And sometimes as they're growing, they so intertwine that they grow up as one. That's a good picture of God's trees. God doesn't plant us in isolation. He plants us together in his courts. He plants us in his gospel church, making us one with one another. And by doing so, producing the fruit of love in his people, Christ makes us strengthen one another. He makes us one with one another. He makes us support and strengthen with the sure promises of our Redeemer. That's what he teaches us to do. He says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Support the weak, he said. That's your brother. That's your brother who's fallen, who's hurting. He says, support them. Strengthen their weak hands. What you going to strengthen them with? What's he strengthening you with? This gospel of Christ and the redemption he's accomplished and the power of his sovereign grace reigning in his people. That's what he's going to strengthen his people with. And that's what they're going to strengthen one another with. The date palm thrives under heavy weights. It thrives under heavy weights. They'll take weights and they'll hang it on a date palm. That's an odd thing, isn't it? They'll take weight and hang it on a date palm because it makes the date palm grow taller and stronger and straighter by hanging weights on it. The Lord sends trials to his people that are heavy. He permits the devil to press us down. Our own sin weighs us down. Wicked men press us down. But you remember, the more Pharaoh sent his taskmasters to make the burden heavier on the children of Israel, you remember what happened? The more they grew and multiplied. And that's what happens with God's people. Trials are God's way of pruning his trees, fertilizing his trees, putting weights upon his trees, so that all our strength is Christ Jesus only. He's the only strength we have. The only strength we have. We trust Christ, our only strength, more, and it makes us less confidence in self. When younger in the faith, we find too much confidence in self. We look too much to self. So when times are good and we see ourselves as faithful and fruitful, we just have full assurance and we're just plumb cocky sometimes. But when our trials come, when sins beset us, when we fall flat in the mud, our strength languishes. And you know what happens? Because we've put all our confidence in our strong faith and our fruit, we don't have any assurance. It's gone. And it gets, that gets troubling. That gets troubling. So God, he wisely, graciously sends the blasts of winter. And he strips away our leaves. And that long, hard winter may be due to personal sin. It might be due to the cares of the world. It might be due to prosperity. And it's all due to a neglect of Christ. But this book teaches us to flee from sin, flee from this world, flee from the cares of this life, flee from it. But those that God has grown and is growing in grace, you know this. Our great husbandman knows how to prune his trees and make us keep bearing fruit. He knows how. We want to use Miracle-Gro. We want to use some sort of pesticide. And by doing that, we just become the pest. He knows how to do it. He knows how to do it. The winter's needful, the same as the spring and the summer. He'll prune us, but he'll never, ever cut us down. I get that. You know, he talked about a teal tree, and he talked about the teal tree casting all its leaves, and he was describing Israel. He was describing what he was going to do with the whole nation. He said, they're going to be like a tree in the winter, a teal tree, that all its leaves are gone, and it looks like it is totally dead. And he said, but in it, there's going to be substance. The holy seed is in it. You know what that holy seed is? That's Christ. All that time that Israel looked dead and looked like it was a dead tree, Christ was coming through the lineage of David, and God was preserving them for that reason. And Christ came forth into the earth. He was the substance. He was the holy seed that kept God preserving them. And for every individual believer, when you've cast your leaves and to all you appear dead, like a dead tree, Christ is the holy seed in you that is the life. And he won't cut you down. He's going to make you grow. He's going to make you grow. Lot had a long, barren winter, but the substance of life was in him. Christ was in Lot. David had a long, barren winter, but the substance of life was in David. Peter had a horrible time of barrenness, but the substance of life was in him. He said, as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. That's Christ. He's the holy seed. He's that incorruptible seed, that living word that liveth and abideth forever, that's in the new man by which the new man lives, so that in that new man he's righteous and holy in and by Christ, and he cannot fall away. Remember that. These winter blasts are necessary. The trees of the Lord's planting must endure their winters to bear fruit. And the child of God is always better off for it. Always. Believers restored from a fall grow, even by the fall. Believers, when they're restored from a fall, he said believers fall seven times, they'll be restored. And they grow every time, even from the fall. Even from the fall. They're necessary. You know what he does? He causes our roots to stretch to Christ. We were growing up. We were like a... Can you just imagine a fruit tree growing up? And a fruit tree looking at all its fruit. Ah, look at all my fruit. I'm such a fruitful tree. And what is he not doing? He's not looking at the sun from where all his fruit came. That's what we get like. But when he sends the blasts of winter, you know what happens? Makes you look to him from whom all your fruit is found. He makes your roots run deeper to him. He makes you look only to him. And he makes you stop looking to yourself. And every single trial is for that reason. It's to grow us to bear the fruit of faith, to walk only by faith, looking only to him, to be patient. he's working it, to patiently wait on him, and to grow in hope. He's really fulfilling everything he promised to me. That's what the tribulation worketh patience, patience experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that's given to us. Now that's it. He's making you every day trust him more and have less confidence in the flesh. That's what he's doing. That's the fruit. That is the fruit. That is the fruit. There's one more thing about the date palm. In Scripture, and this is, I found this to be such a beautiful picture. In Scripture, the branches of the date palm were used to rejoice in the Lord and to declare his victory in saving his people. You remember when he come riding into Jerusalem on the ass's colt? You know what they had in their hands? You know what they were waving in their hands? They were waving date palm branches. And you know what they did with those date palm branches? They put them down at his feet. And they cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." Those in glory, those robed in the white robe of Christ's righteousness, you know what Revelation 7:9 says they have in their hands? They have date palms branches in their hands. And they're crying, "Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb." God's saints are date palms due to Christ obtaining the victory for us over sin, Satan, death, and hell. He's done that. That's our gospel. That's our song. That's our glorying in Him. He obtained the victory. And as date palms, you know what we do? We lay everything at His feet and we bow to Him and worship Him. Everything. What about this comparison to a cedar? I'm not going to go in much on this. I'll just say a few things about it. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Well, Psalm 104:16 says, "The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted." That means the cedar is full of oil. You've cut a cedar down before. You know how oily they are. Full of oil. This psalm just declared, "The Lord shall anoint us with fresh oil." Now listen to what this is. I think we should read this. Go to Isaiah 63. Now he says he's going to anoint you with fresh oil. That means he's not just going to anoint you one time. He's going to keep renewing you with the oil. He's going to keep giving you the oil. Now what's he giving you the oil for? It's going to tell us a lot about this walk through this life right here. Isaiah 61, look at verse 3. He gives us, he appoints unto us that mourn in Zion. Here we are mourning. Why are we mourning? Our sin, our enemies, our troubles. Is that just one time? Is that just, you just mourn one time? To give unto them beauty for ashes. Ashes represents repentance, dust and ashes, just being down in the dust. He said to give them beauty in the place of that. The oil of joy for mourning. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. You know what that means? It means everything I just said. You're going to mourn. And he said, "I'm going to anoint you with fresh oil. And you're going to rejoice in him. A little while, you're going to mourn. I'm going to anoint you with fresh oil. And you're going to rejoice in him. A little while, you're going to mourn. He's going to anoint you with fresh oil. You're going to rejoice in him." It's going to go on like this till there's no more mourning. Till we awake with his likeness and there's nothing but joy. But why the mourning? Why the mourning? So we keep knowing the life is him giving us the fresh oil. Him pouring the oil in our vessel. That's the life. We look to him, not to us. But to Lebanon, the cedars of Lebanon, they're full of sap. Just like that branch in the vine gets all the sap from the vine. We're getting all the oil from Christ. All the oil from Christ. Of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. And it never runs out. It never runs out. Here's another thing about a cedar. A cedar is never eaten by wood-boring pests. They don't eat a cedar. Termites don't eat cedar. "I'll restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." That's God's promise. you notice he said the caterpillar and the palmer worm, and there's all pictures of our enemies. He said, I sent them. That's my great army. I sent them to eat you up. Eat up your righteousnesses. Eat up what you thought was your fruit. Eat all that up for you. But then I'm going to restore true fruit to you. I'm going to make you prosperous. He won't let the pests eat his people. He won't let the wood-boring insects eat his cedars. He's going to keep you walking in him. And then both the date palm and the cedar are always green. They're always green. So are those who trust in the Lord. They're going to always be green by him. You know, I talked to you about him blowing your leaves off. Not the leaves that he's made. They're always green. The inner man's always green. Just some leaves that we thought, and the fruit we thought we was producing. That's what he's going to blow off. But the new man, the inner man, we're talking about spiritual here. We're talking about inwardly here. It's always green. Listen to this. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. There it is. There it is. He that hath the Son hath life. Run the race set before you, looking to Christ Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Take some time to get to that point right there, don't it? A tree don't just grow up overnight. A tree don't just grow up and it's done. Take some time. Take some time. When the year of drought comes and it seems like everything is hopeless, it says those that are trusting in the Lord and hoping in the Lord, they're going to be like a tree planted by the water. They're not going to be anxious when the drought comes. They've seen the drought before, and they know God's going to provide, and they know he's not going to dry it up. He's going to keep giving the water, and so they keep waiting on him. And so that's where he's growing us. He's growing us to trust him. And so he says here, God's child shall bear fruit even to old age. Even to old age. He said, verse 14, Psalm 92:14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and green. Last week, we're an hour behind down there. And I was listening to Rob's message on the way to service. And we in the car, we were listening to it on the way to service. And he preached on something similar about the Lord's people being plants growing up. And at the end of the message, my mother made an observation I never thought about, but it's true. She said, when a plant or a tree bears fruit, that's when it's the most vulnerable. Think about that. I've planted gardens and I've had fruit trees. When they start bearing fruit, that's when the raccoons come and the deer come and the foxes come. That's when they're vulnerable. Here's the point. He says here you're going to grow up into old age bearing fruit. We don't ever grow beyond an entire dependence on Christ to grow us and keep us. Not ever. That's what Rob meant in that illustration when he said the more fruit you bear, the more the tree bows down. The more you submit to him. The more fruit you bear, the more vulnerable you are. But he said, even to your old age, I'm he, and even to gray hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear you. Even I will carry you, and I will deliver you. That's the Lord's promise. So our outward man's going to perish. He's growing weaker and weaker every day. That's what we start out putting way too much confidence in, is this outward man. And it's growing weaker and weaker on purpose to show us it can't be trusted. But the inward man's being renewed by that anointing oil and she'll still bring forth fruit in old age, and it'll be fat and green. What's that mean? Means it's still going to be purified and holy by the Lord indwelling in us. People think the holiness is outward. That's what they think. Your holiness is Christ, who's made you holy by taking up his residence within you. That's your holiness. And he's going to still be abiding in his people. They're going to still be believing on Christ. They're going to be perfect in his righteousness, separated unto him. They're going to still be loving their brethren. They're going to still be encouraging one another, even in old age, being used even more to encourage those new little saplings that are growing up, them new believers. They're going to be still trusting all their enemies to our Most High God, not anxious about them, not anxious about the drought, trusting the enemies to God. And they're still going to be loving the gospel and hearing the gospel with God's people, rejoicing in Christ, thanking Christ and praising him. That's where they're going to be. That's where they're going to be. One time years ago, they tell you, "Oh, I look like a dead tree. Christ preserved me. He kept me. One time I went through a bad, I remember the drought of 2021. Oh, but the Lord brought me through the drought. Kept watering me. Kept me green. Oh, I remember the time when all the pests came and the varmints came and they tried to turn me away back in such a year. The Lord hedged me about. He kept me. How'd you get here? How'd you get grown like this?" Lord did it. Lord did it. And it's going to be this way till God calls them to cross over the Jordan. That's going to be the ultimate trial. How you going to get across? Huh? Same way you're getting through all these little trials right here. These light afflictions right here, how you getting through them? Same way you're going to cross that chilly Jordan called death. How you going to get across that? Christ said, "I'm going to carry you across." These all died in faith. That's what's going to be said of all his plantings. These all died in faith. Why didn't it say, "These all died with many wonderful works"? These all died with many glorious fruits. These all died trusting the Lord. That's the evidence of things not seen. That's the substance. Trust in Christ. Why is all this? What's the reason for all this? Why is God going to do it this way? Here it is. He's going to fulfill all this promise, verse 15, to show that the Lord is upright. He's my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. It's all to show salvation is of the Lord. That's why. Amen.